Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. It is great to have you here. Today is March 3rd, and we have a very inspiring article for all of you today. Today, we will be studying our People article for the month of March 2017, and the story is about a musician who overcame an incredible obstacle. And that's perfect because we have one of my favorite musicians here in the studio, Angus. How are you doing, Angus?
Hi, Campbell. Thank you.
Now, Angus, you are quite the musician. You play several instruments, right?
A few.
He's being so humble.
He is.
He plays the piano, he plays the bass, he plays the drums, but you studied the flute in college, right?
Yes,
that was
I did.
Your major.
Yes.
Okay, so you kind of understand what it takes to play what we call woodwind instruments.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so today's musician is actually a woodwind player. We're specifically talking about the oboe, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But first, let's meet our other friend here, Amanda. How are you?
I'm good, Campbell. Good to be here with you.
Yeah. Well, Amanda, you chose this article, right?
Right.
Why did you choose this article?
Because I thought it was really interesting how he had to overcome this difficulty that came into his life. He was very accomplished.
Yes.
He was a very accomplished musician.
Right.
And to have something like this happen to him and how he faced it, I think it can be an inspiration to our listeners.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have dreams and they work hard to pursue their dreams. And the thing with this musician, Alex Klein, is that he had his dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was living his dream. But suddenly something happened in his body where he was no longer able to hold on to that and to continue to do what he loved to do.
Right.
Right. And so how do you handle that? What do you do when that happens to you? You know, Angus, what do you love to do? What is your dream?
What is my dream?
Are you living your dream right now?
I am kind of, because making music is always a very enjoyable thing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, well, the reason why I paused was I didn't dream this far.
Right.
I thought it would be just probably playing or teaching music, and
right.
that'll be good enough.
Yeah.
But I wasn't quite a dreamer.
Yeah.
But now I'm actually making music and for a good cause.
Yeah.
I'm teaching people at the same time with music.
Right.
Say, we teach them English through English songs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, I find that very, you know, very fun and
yeah.
very creative.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that my dream will be making music.
Yeah. Yeah, and you do a good job. You
mm-hmm.
produce a lot of music, and we get to play sometimes together, and that's always fun,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I appreciate Angus's musicality and his professionalism because, you know, it's just you give him a piece of music and he just plays it, you know.
Yeah.
Or I can sing a few notes and then he can just start to play an accompaniment with me.
I always
cool.
feel safe when
that's
I'm
true. That's
with
a good
Angus.
Word. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You just feel like okay, he can do it, you know. So that's really cool. What about you, Amanda? What is your dream?
Ooh, I think my dream is to encourage people and inspire them to believe in their dreams.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
Because I think there are a lot of people in this world who, for whatever reason, they kind of rain on your parade. We have that phrase in English, which just means like they kind of want to pull you down.
Right.
You know, they don't want you to succeed. I think out of fear, you
mm-hmm.
know, sometimes people do it out of fear because they don't want you to get hurt.
Right.
But they don't realize that when they do that, they're actually hurting you even more.
Yes.
So yeah, if all of you have dreams, we want to encourage you to go and pursue them. And, yeah. And like we said, today's main character, well, he's not a character, the person that we're focusing on today, Alex Klein, he was living his dream, but something happened where he kind of lost it for a bit. So let's find out what happened to Mr. Alex Klein. Our article is on page 12 of today's magazine, so please open to page 12 if you have your magazine or your mobile device and join us at the top of the page.
Overcoming Life's Obstacles, How a Top Oboist Overcame a Neurological Disorder to Play Again. A dozen years ago, the music stopped for Alex Klein. In May 2001, Klein, then serving as principal oboe of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, found himself losing control of his fingers when he played. He was eventually diagnosed with a neurological disorder known as focal hand dystonia. The affliction sent garbled signals from his brain to the third and fourth fingers of his left hand, forcing them to curl under. Those involuntary muscle contractions cost Klein, one of the world's foremost orchestral and solo musicians, the thing he loved and did best, playing the oboe. Worse, the dystonia robbed him of his identity and self-esteem as an artist. The condition grew so bad that he was unable to perform more than sporadically. He tried various means of controlling the incurable affliction. He sweated out CSO rehearsals and concerts, playing as much as his muscles could tolerate without causing further stress or risking injury.
Wow, this story already sounds really amazing. So let's get into it. Okay, so the title of our article today is Overcoming Life's Obstacles. Now, when we overcome something, what are we talking about, Amanda?
We're talking about being able to succeed past a challenge, to break through the challenge and go beyond it.
Right. You know, life is not always easy, right? I think we always have obstacles. There will always be obstacles in life. That's just how the world works, unfortunately. Mm. But how do you overcome them?
Right.
And a lot of times when we have these obstacles and these challenges, they can hinder us, they can stop us, they can block us, or they can become something that we use to really make us stronger. You know, and I think it's always good to remember that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the victory, you know? And a lot of times when we have these obstacles in our lives, if we face them, we challenge them, we overcome them, they can be very, very inspiring. And I think the fact that we are even reading an article like this is because of the fact that this was a huge challenge. You know, if it was easy for him, I don't think this article would even exist.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage all of you right now, if you're facing an obstacle, you know, don't give up. Keep going, you know, and God can help you. God is there for you. You know, talk to him. He wants to help you overcome. All right. So today, like we said, we're talking about Alex Klein, and he is a top oboist. Now, what is an oboist, Angus?
It's a person who plays oboe.
That's right. So an oboist, so when we see the suffix there, I-S-T, it's someone who plays or someone who does something. So we often use this in when we talk about musicians, right? So Angus, you are a flautist, right?
Yeah.
You play the flute, right? And we have a pianist,
yes.
Right? Or a guitarist.
Yes.
Okay, so these are all different musicians, okay, and he overcame a neurological disorder, so this was his obstacle. Neurological just has to do with the brain, so this was a challenge with the brain, and something happened where he was having a hard time playing. So, what happened exactly? Well, our article starts saying a dozen years ago, so about 12 years ago, the music stopped for Alex Klein, right? So this was in 2001. He was serving as principal oboe of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, CSO. Now, what is the principal oboe?
They're usually two oboists in an orchestra,
right.
Not like five. Usually there might be many violinists, but
right.
For oboes or flutes, there are usually just two each.
Right.
So there's always going to be a leader.
Right.
usually a better, well, more experienced, mm-hmm. and he must be that person.
Right. So the principal oboe, we often say the first chair, right?
Yes,
The lead oboist, right? So he's the main person. So you have to be really, really good, especially if you're going to be in a professional symphony orchestra, like the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. You have to be the top, right? You have to be an excellent, excellent musician. And this was probably his dream because you work really hard to get to that position of a principal player. But something happened. What happened, Amanda?
Well, he found himself losing control of his fingers when he played, which is super important when you're playing the oboe because, you know, your fingers are covering the holes of the oboe to make the different notes.
Right.
So if you can't do that, you're going to play different notes.
Right. Yeah. So we kind of talk about the fine motor skills, right? So you really need those fine motor skills. The buttons on the oboe are not that big and they're really close together, right, Angus?
I'm not sure. Amanda knows.
Well, I tried to play oboe for a little bit in high school because I did play the flute. Uh-huh. And I thought, oh, I had a cousin who was playing the oboe. I'll give that a go.
Right.
But it's actually extremely hard because it's what we call a double reed instrument. Mm-hmm. So the mouthpiece is extremely hard to blow through, and
right.
it takes a certain technique.
Yeah.
So you're right. The holes on the oboe are quite close together.
Right. So you kind of have to be really, really skilled, and you have to be, you know, your fingers need to be really adept. But problem is, now he has this neurological disorder. And what was his neurological disorder called?
It's called focal hand dystonia.
Focal hand dystonia. And what is that?
Well, if we have a look at our specialized terms, it's a neurological condition. It affects the muscles, and it causes involuntary muscular contractions. So when you don't want your muscles to contract, they will just do that.
Right.
And so that, unfortunately, it reduces your ability to be able to control your hands.
Right. And we have a description here. It says the affliction. Now, an affliction is something that makes you suffer. So an affliction or the illness, this disorder sent garbled signals from his brain to the third and fourth fingers of his left hand, forcing them to curl under. Now, what does this word garbled mean, Angus?
If words or messages are garbled, they are not clear and are very difficult to understand, often giving a false idea of the fact.
Right. So one idea of garbled is, for example, if I'm talking like this, all my words are kind of in my mouth and I can't really understand what I'm saying, that's kind of garbled, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, sometimes on the phone, right? If
right.
the cellular reception's not very good, you might hear, that's all garbled, right? So imagine, you know, your brain communicates with your body and your muscles through the nerves, and it sends messages. Now imagine that happening in your brain, where it's sending these unclear messages where you can't understand what's going on. Your finger's going to start doing stuff.
Yeah, so they don't know what to do.
You're going to lose control, right? And so that's pretty much what's happening to him. Now, this next sentence here, it says, those involuntary muscle contractions cost Klein the thing he loved and did best.
Hmm.
Right? So when it costs someone something, it means that you lose it.
Yes.
Right? And here we have a description of him. He says that he is one of the world's foremost orchestral and solo musicians. What does that phrase mean?
Well, foremost means that you are like number one.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned that he was the principal oboe in the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. So he is one of the top oboists in the world.
Yep.
And solo musician means he's able to do a solo or play solo very well.
Yeah. And it says worse. The dystonia, again, this is the affliction that he had. Dystonia, what did the dystonia do, Angus?
It caused him not being able to function his fingers properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that must have affected him not to
That's right.
be able to play.
Yeah, and what did that rob him of?
His identity as this musician, this top principal oboist, mm-hmm. and as a result, also his self-esteem.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, a lot of times we're tied, our identity gets tied into what we can do, mm. right? A lot of people, for example, when they think of Angus, they think of being a musician. You know, when they think of Amanda and I, they think of English teachers, right? Now, so a lot of times when we talk to people, we're like, oh, what do you do? You mm-hmm. know, and that's how we kind of identified them, right? Now, all of a sudden, he can't do that anymore. So what is he? Who is he? Mm-hmm. Right? So he kind of loses his identity and his self-esteem as an artist, right? Because he probably felt like he had value because he was a really good musician. Now, all of a sudden, he's not a good musician anymore. So does that mean he doesn't have any value?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so the dystonia robbed him, which means it took all that away from him. And the condition grew so bad that he was unable to perform more than sporadically. Hmm. What does that mean?
It means that sometimes he'll do well, sometimes he won't do well. It's mm-hmm. not regular or consistent.
Right. So he wasn't able to perform all the time. Yeah. He tried different ways to control the incurable affliction, so there is no cure for this disorder currently. Mm. And this next phrase is interesting. It says, he sweated out CSO. Again, CSO is the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. So he sweated out Chicago Symphony Orchestra rehearsals and concerts. Why was he sweating it out? What happens when you sweat out? Why do you sweat out?
Nervous?
Yeah.
Is he nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of pressure, mm-hmm. right? Because he's the principal oboist.
Right.
And so there's a pressure to perform at a high or an excellent standard. So when you feel under a lot of pressure, you sweat.
Yeah. Yeah. So this phrase, it doesn't necessarily mean that you literally sweated, but when we say you sweated out, it means like, oh, you were really nervous and anxious the whole time because, okay, what if, you know, in the middle of my solo, I lose control of my fingers and I can't play anymore? You know, I'm just going to be so embarrassed and everyone's going to look really bad and so much pressure, right? So he did his best, right, playing as much as his muscles could tolerate, which just means that he could endure without causing further stress or risking injury, right? So hurting himself. Mm. This is pretty, pretty hard.
Right. It's extremely hard when you are at what we call the top of your game. You know, you're excellent at what you do. You're very skilled at what you do. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you're not able to do that.
Right. Yeah. Now, the worst thing is that this was not a problem that he had all the time. This was only something that afflicted him when he played the oboe, which kind of sucks, right?
Yeah.
So let's find out more about this story.
Facing a harsh reality, the insidious thing was that when he was away from the oboe, his fingers worked just fine. It was only when he performed that his fingers got confused and stiffened. He was faced with the realization that he could no longer provide the level of playing and section leadership expected of a musician in his position. So, in April 2004, after 9 years in the orchestra, Klein announced he was retiring from his position. He played his final concert as the CSO's first chair oboe 3 months later. He then returned to his hometown of Curitiba, Brazil, to crash, empty and dazed, at his parents' home. "It was the most depressing time of my life," he said, looking back on the terrible chain of events. "I had nothing to do and nowhere to go. I sat on the couch for months." He hesitated to play the oboe again. Whenever he did, after a couple of days, his fingers would tighten up.
Facing a harsh reality. Now, when reality is harsh, it's not very nice.
No, it's really difficult.
Yeah, so we see here that the insidious thing was that when he was away from the oboe, his fingers worked just fine. Why is that insidious?
Well, insidious means that something happens gradually and you maybe don't notice it at first. Mm-hmm. So until it gets really serious, then you start to notice it.
Right, yeah. And this is just this sense of like, it's like unfair, right? It's just this negative thing, right? I mean, like the only time it doesn't work is when he's trying to do something he loves.
Right.
Right? Why can't my fingers curl up when I'm brushing my teeth when it's something that doesn't really matter, you know? Why can't it just curl up when, you know, I'm just watching TV? Then it's fine, but it only happens when I'm trying to do something I love. That is really insidious. That's really horrible, right? And it was hard. And so he was faced with the realization that he could no longer provide the level of playing and section leadership expected of a musician in his position, right? So he's expected to be a leader. He's expected to be perfect and a top musician, but he's not able to anymore. So what did he do in April of 2004, Angus?
Well, sadly, he had to announce his retiring from his position.
Right. So he retired from his position and he played his final concert as the Chicago Symphony Orchestra's first chair oboe 3 months later. Okay, so probably in around June or July, he left the orchestra. Okay, and so here we see the term first chair, and this again goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the principal oboe player. Okay, so what did he do after he retired, Amanda?
Well, he's from Brazil, so he returned to his hometown in Curitiba in Brazil. And it says to crash empty and dazed at his parents' home. So if we crash, it means that we really collapse or we're no longer doing what we originally were doing, and we come to the bottom of, I don't know, maybe your emotions. Mm-hmm. You actually don't feel good. When we say we crash, we're at the bottom of how we feel.
Right.
Yeah. Very sad, disillusioned.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, you're like the best at what you do, and all of a sudden, not because of your choice, you lose that ability to do that. Mm. You know, you're no longer the best. Now what happens, right? And it makes sense that he says it was the most depressing time of his life. And he had nothing to do, nowhere to go. And what did he do for months, Angus?
He went home to Brazil and to crash.
Mm-hmm.
And that means to probably chill out, to stay in his parents' place. And he sat on the couch for months.
That's right. He just sat on the couch for months.
Wow.
And he hesitated to play the oboe again, right? Hmm. Why?
Well, whenever he did, he would start playing and for a couple of days. But after a couple of days, his fingers would start curling up again.
Mm-hmm.
So he's thinking, this disorder is still with me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be able to reach the skill that I previously had before.
Yeah. It would be really frustrating. I think it would be really frustrating. Angus, how would you feel if one day you weren't able to play any of your instruments anymore?
This is our nightmare. I think we always, like many times when I'm, say, doing something probably with a knife or something dangerous, say, cutting wood or whatever, or using heavy metals.
Right.
Yeah, you would imagine things like that happen, and or even on a bike or a traffic accident.
Mm-hmm.
There are movies about that too. You know, people who are surgeons and then oh, that's a movie. And then he got into a car accident.
Right. So, I mean, your fingers are really important for anybody, right? But especially for a musician. I mean, most instruments require you to have some sort of, use your hands in some sort of way, right? And so if you don't have your hands, it can be quite a challenge. And for, you know, for me as an amateur musician, you know, I play every once in a while. I feel like if I couldn't play anymore, probably wouldn't be that big of a deal. But, you know, if all of a sudden I couldn't talk or I couldn't sing, I think that would be really, really hard on me. So how would you feel if this were you? How would you feel if you had something that you absolutely loved. You were living your dream. You were at the top of your game, as we say. You know, you were the best of the best. And then all of a sudden, you were struck with a disorder and you could no longer do what you love to do. Well, it's definitely, definitely a challenge. It's definitely, as we started our article saying, this is an obstacle, right? So what did Alex do? Well, it seems like at this point, he's kind of given up because right. there's not too much that he can do, right? Would you give up, Amanda?
I think initially I would probably go through feeling very sad and depressed, mm-hmm. but I would hope that I would pick myself up and and look for other options and try to come back.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Angus? Would you give up?
I would just give up. No. I'll try to see what my second interest to be.
Okay. Mm. All right. Well, what would you do? You know, this is kind of a sad ending to the first day, but I promise you that it gets better. It has to get better, right, Amanda?
Yeah.
Otherwise,
right.
we wouldn't be studying this article.
Come back tomorrow.
So you have to come back tomorrow to find out what Alex did and why we're even studying this article, because it's very, very inspirational. All right? So thanks for joining us today, friends. We hope to see you again tomorrow. Hear you. Well, you can hear us. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow. All right. Thanks, friends. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.